Total Media, along with Honda, Suzuki, Polaris, Can-Am, and KOF Jackson, are proud to present Cycle Search 2024. Cycle Search is now underway. It's twice as nice this year, with the winner receiving a YCF dirt bike, along with a Suzuki RM85 racing dirt bike. Listen daily for clues, find the key packet, and you're a winner. A special thanks to this year's sponsors, Ron's Garage and Wrecker Service and Bob's Service Center, Mark Porter GM, the Four Winds Community, and Monroe Collision. Good luck!
Ohio approved and licensed for disposal. At Ron Evans Enterprises, they specialize in sewage system installation and repair. Ron Evans has a full line of flex pipe, culverts, concrete and plastic septic tanks, sewer fittings, waterline rolls for the Home American water heaters, along with toilets standard and ADA. It's all at Ron Evans Enterprise, LLC. Give them a call today at 1-800-537-9528 or 740-286-5930.
Would you like to work closer to home, save money on gas, and be rewarded for your hard work and attendance? Then Bellisio Foods is looking for you. That's right. Bellisio Foods is now hiring for multiple positions and shifts with great employee benefits, an on-site health clinic, competitive wages, and advancement opportunities. Bellisio Foods is a company that truly values their employees. Apply online at BelliscioFoods.com/careers.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Monday edition of Main Street TV, where we are here with our good friend Pete Wilson this morning to talk about kind of a breaking story that unfortunately happened here in our county over the weekend. And, you know, sometimes, Pete, we love when you come in and we get to talk about all the news and some of the great things that happen in our community. This one, not so much.
No, absolutely not. This was just a tragedy of the highest order.
Yes.
That occurred Saturday afternoon, shortly after noon. And, of course, most folks, unless they've just been totally out of circulation, don't know, probably already know about this. But, you know, we'll go and tell you the latest update on what we know here for Main Street TV. But on Saturday, there was a crash of a small plane just outside the Jackson County Airport. And, you know, normally when a plane crashes, it's not good.
And
this wasn't. We had all three persons who were in the plane, the pilot and the two occupants, who were killed instantly. And it occurred between 12:15 and 12:35 p.m., just a quarter of a mile away from the Jackson County Airport. Of course, it's all being investigated, and you know, we'll be following up on that. But you know, to roll back to the beginning of it, it all started when it was noticed that there was a fire near the airport. The first thought was that, you know, a brush fire or something like that.
Structure fire, yeah.
But it was a plane that had crashed and was burning, and this was the scene along Barton Road. Now, a lot of folks who don't have to travel that way because they live out that way or they're going through may not know Barton Road is. But Barton Road basically connects Dixon Run Road on one end and on the other end, Hanley Road.
Yes.
And near the Hanley Road intersection is Keystone Station Road, which if you take a left off Barton Road as you come to Hanley Road, that would take you to the airport.
Right.
Airport right in sight. The airport was inside of the crash site. It was on Barton Road, about no more than an eighth of a mile from the Keystone Station Road intersection. That is a picture that I took on Sunday at the site where there was some investigators who were on the scene representing some different parties in the crash scene investigation. If you're looking there, just, you know, you see that small tree on the other side of the big truck. That was where the plane crash site was.
Okay.
Just off the road there. Here is the closest picture we were allowed to get of the crash site. And you don't see it very carefully. You don't see it very easily because of the tall grass and the brush. But sticking up there about right in the center of that photo is the tail of the airplane.
Yeah.
And, of course, it was, you know, it was a very... you know, the plane crashed. It was speculated, and that's all it is at this point. But at the scene, what Sheriff Ted Frazier was saying and what apparently others were saying at the scene, they think that the plane took off from the airport and then suddenly was deciding to return to the airport almost as soon as it took off.
Yeah, some reason.
Was it weather? Was it mechanical trouble? Right. Was it something else? We don't know. That investigation is being done. This is another picture from the scene on Saturday. The man standing up there on the right is Sheriff Ted Frazier, you know, talking to a bystander there. Of course, a lot of emergency personnel out there. But the three persons who were killed, you know, that's the tragic bottom line. Daniel T. Baker, age 44, he lived on Mount Zion Road, Jackson. His father, Robert Daniel Baker, age 78, he lived in Lucasville, that's in Scioto County. And Zebulon D. Logan, age 45, also of Lucasville. Now, I had two different addresses for the elder Mr. Baker. I had Portsmouth and West Portsmouth as well as Lucasville, but it was Scioto County for sure. But anyway, you know, they were declared dead at the scene. As soon as the firefighters got there, you know, they saw that there were victims there as well. Mm-hmm. They were able to put the fire out, and then, of course, everybody responded to the scene. The Jackson County Sheriff's Office, Ted Frazier himself, the Jackson County EMA, of course, the Jackson Fire Department, Jackson County EMS, the Jackson County Emergency Management Agency. It was a Piper PA-32 Cherokee 6 plane. Very small plane. There were only three people in it. There might have maybe been room for four, okay, perhaps. But the initial information that was released by the sheriff's office a bit later in the day was that the plan for the occupants was to fly to Florida because Mr. Logan had bought a vehicle.
Right.
So, you know, they were probably going to pick up that vehicle there and Mr. Logan was going to drive it home.
Right.
And for whatever reason, as I said, there was a crash shortly after takeoff. And, you know, it was believed that it could have been, that the plane could have been returning to the airport for whatever reasons. Sunday, a lot of crash investigators were at the scene. It's officially in the hands now of the Ohio State Highway Patrol, the Federal Aviation Administration, and the National Transportation Safety Board. At the scene, I was told that at that time, and this was about 10 o'clock Sunday morning, the patrol, of course, was out there. I saw them. Some accident cleanup people were there, too. Angles Garage was there. Yeah. But there were representatives of the National Transportation Safety Board, the FAA, a representative of the plane's manufacturer, and a representative of the motor manufacturer of the plane. They were all out there.
And I was also told, this is interesting, and you mentioned that. I didn't know if you knew all that. I had spoken with someone kind of that you know, is out at the airport a lot. And he was telling me, too, that when something like this happens, everybody sends a representative because they need to know. And even like someone that represented the fuel company, because if there was fuel purchased.
That could have been.
And, you know, you don't think of all of these things when it comes to that kind of deal, but they've got to figure out what happened and why so that it doesn't happen again.
No, that's always going to be a very important thing. I was told, not directly by the National Transportation Safety Board, but by, I think reliable sources, that a preliminary report should be out within 30 days. It may not be the final report, but, you know, some answers, you know, may be known within 30 days that become public. After they did the crash scene investigation, they expected that, you know, to take place, you know, the first part of Sunday. The remains of the plane were going to be taken to the Jackson County Airport, which is, of course, nearby, just a quarter of a mile.
Yes.
They're going to be put in a building there, and they're going to examine the wreckage there more carefully.
Sure.
You know, part by part and see if, you know, there are any clues there. Now, Ted Frazier, who was there on the scene shortly after it happened, he told me that, and of course, at that time, I was at a ball game, Ross Southeastern, where
the Jackson, the girls' game,
where the girls
which
were
is
playing
a whole other news story,
where the girls were playing basketball, correct? But when I was when he was there, he told me that for a short time, it was snowing pretty heavily, actually.
Yes.
And the wind was there, so there could have been a weather-related situation. Might not have had anything to do with it at all, but weather is certainly one of the options or the variables that could have affected you know, what happened there.
Correct. And this is, again, why there are so many entities on the scene investigating to right. try to figure out what happened.
Right. And, you know, at the scene, you know, I mentioned some of the agencies. The Oak Hill Police Department was there as well. The Jackson County Coroner happens to be Sheriff Frazier's wife. Dr. Alice Frazier yeah. was also there on the scene, you know, to declare that indeed the occupants were dead and that they were died as a result, apparently, of the airplane crash. Now, they're even doing autopsies on the bodies. Okay. Some people may wonder about that, but that, once again, is another variable that, you know,
sure.
that's, you know, you're looking at all angles, you know, was there a medical situation or whatever
and, yeah,
that may have been
absolutely.
Involved because, you know, all three persons died. Unfortunately, all three persons were killed. Nobody's going to be able, who was in that plane, be able to say what happened, of course.
Yeah.
So a very thorough investigation, and we will see what happens there. But on the news side, kind of like a sidebar thing that will never be published, but I'll talk about it a little bit now on TV, it created a real challenge for us. Unfortunately, when news happens, it's not something that you can plan for most of the time. No, certainly not anything
Correct.
Like some of the most important news are breaking. So at the time that occurred, of course, not a regular work day, not that we don't sometimes work on the weekend, but it's not a regular work day. People are not in the office. I had a situation. I don't have a big staff, but I had a situation where I was at a ball game 25 miles away at Ross Southeastern High School.
Right.
And, you know, I learned about it from Sheriff Frazier pretty quick, but, you know, I'm kind of indisposed.
You can't be two places at one time. I mean, we would love for you to be.
Right. But anyway, I was there. Todd Compston was not going to be at the ball game. I thought he might be. He was not our primary coverage, but he had an incident at his house, kind of an emergency situation there too, and he wasn't able to come. I wasn't sure whether Red Thompson was coming to the ball game to take pictures because we had another reporter, Brock Netter, assigned to cover the game.
Uh-huh.
And it ends up that Seth Fain, who takes pictures for the high school and is in the photography business and helps us quite a bit.
Yes.
I found out later, I didn't know at the time that he was going to take pictures. So Red was not immediately available because he worked very late last night because of the boys' ball game.
Right,
that was at,
right.
That was at Logan High School. So I couldn't get a hold of Red immediately. I didn't know where he was, whether he was going to the ball game or he just was home or whatever. He was not immediately available. Alex Shope, who does a great job as our editorial assistant, he was like a lot of other people in Jackson County. He was very sick.
He was off work
on part of Thursday, all of Friday, and he was still maybe even sicker on Saturday.
Yes.
I even texted him to see, you know, if he was available or able, and he just couldn't go. Felt bad about it, but he couldn't go. Jeremiah Shaver, who is our most active person going to scenes and doing video
yes.
coverage, just has a great following on that. Well, he and his wife took their little boy.
He selfishly took a day for himself and went to Cincinnati.
To the Newport Aquarium.
Yeah.
So, and you know, and he has different people contacting him too, but you know, he is even farther
Again,
away.
You're 2 hours
than we are.
Plus away, yeah.
Well, of course, this is going to end up being not only a regional state, but even a national news story. You can see that if you go to websites and the internet and see all the stories that have already been posted. So what we want to do is we want to get somebody to the scene as quickly as possible. Well, the way it worked out, Red did respond to me, and he was coming in the office, and when he was here, Jeremiah Shaver had gotten a hold of our Dylan Euler.
Yay, Dylan!
And Dylan doesn't normally have a lot of newspaper responsibilities, but he is always willing to help. I never thought of Dylan. Jeremiah did. So Dylan comes in, and Dylan and Red go out to the scene. And they did a great job. They got some pictures at the scene. We were the first news organization there. Red was able to get a video of the sheriff. Wasn't able to say much at the time, but it,
sure.
you know, it was very timely. And we got a report from the scene and was able to get something out on the radio early that evening, thanks to Red writing up something. And Hayden Milliken, who was the board op for the ball game, he stayed and freshened up the Saturday evening news, which we normally wouldn't do, but we did because of this situation.
Sure.
And I give Red and Hayden credit for thinking of that. At the time, I was trying to track down details for a more detailed newspaper story, which we did get online pretty early on Saturday evening with as many details as possible. News reports from the patrol, from the sheriff's office, and those were news releases that went out to everybody. But we had information before that from talking to people, including the sheriff. So The two other people I want to mention, they didn't end up doing anything, but they would have, and they're not on the they're on Total Media, but they're not on the newspaper staff. Justin Drummond, who is the I don't know what his title is, but it's important. He it handles the IT,
yes,
the technical things.
He's our engineer.
With the radio stations. Yes. Okay, you said it. But anyway, Jeremiah made an initial contact with him, and he was willing to go out to the scene. I talked to J.J. Hill, who was doing his homework, getting ready for his radio show today, and he was in the office working, and he was ready to go out the door when, you know, we finally got a hold of Red. Sure. So I thank Justin and J.J. for being, I mean, they could have easily said, that's not my job or I'm busy.
Right.
But they were willing to go do that. And so I am grateful to them. I'm grateful to Red and Dylan for going out, you know, on the scene and doing something on the spur of the moment where that we had no other option. And they did a wonderful job. I thank Hayden for staying so we could record something on the news. Red for writing the initial story. I want to thank Sheriff Frazier, who made himself available to me and others before when he had every right to hold us off until
right,
he knew
absolutely.
More. So, you know, I thank him. It was honestly a very good team effort. And we want to be quick, but more importantly, we want to be accurate. And sometimes those two things fly at each other. And as you know, because I know you're a social media girl, things fly out on social media, and I'm not trying to condemn or criticize, but it may or may not be right, that information floating around out there.
Dylan and I were just having this discussion off the air before the show started, and you know, some people may be quick to criticize, even strangely enough, the speed in which you all got the information out there. But to me, it's very important to get the facts out there, because if not, people make it up.
Well, they do, and then
or maybe not even intentionally.
Right, and well-meaning people repeat something that's wrong, and they don't know that
exactly.
It's wrong.
Exactly, and so you know, it wasn't 5 minutes after I heard the fire trucks mm-hmm. go out. I was at the restaurant that somebody told me there was a plane crash.
Right,
and because somebody had talked to somebody that was on a response team, mm-hmm. whatever. And I'm like, okay, so now I need to know facts before everybody starts blabbing. And so it was very appreciated that you all got out there so fast and were able to report that, because immediately people just start
people want to know, and it's our responsibility.
And they're afraid. There's a lot of local people mm-hmm. that have planes at the Jackson County Airport.
No, I know.
And people were terrified.
They were.
Is it their friend? Is it their loved
one?
Unfortunately, it was somebody's, you know, but
yeah,
who
that's
is
a,
it?
That's a relatively small group of people that fly. And so when you hear that there's an airplane crash and it came out of the Jackson County Airport, oh my gosh.
You know, it's probably
my neighbor flies, my cousin flies or whatever, and they don't necessarily tell you what their plans are. And so we wanted to get the names out as quickly as possible, you know, not to exploit the situation, but because people needed to know that. They needed to know who it was, and more importantly, who it wasn't. And there was names that got floated just a little bit before they were actually released. In one case, they were right. In another case, it was not right.
Right.
So we wanted to get it out there as quickly as we could. And sometimes even when we do that, we get criticized. How insensitive are you putting this out before the family even hears?
22 thing. Like,
yeah, it is. But you know, we try to balance that with being as quick as possible, being accurate as possible. And what that means is, what we put out first may have holes in it. We don't know names. We don't know exactly all the details. But here is what we know for sure, and we want it to come from a reliable source.
Sure.
And sometimes that source may not always be named at first. For instance, somebody who is at the scene, but they're not the lead investigator, but they're there, they know, that's reliable. But
but
that's a judgment call that we have to make. But we want to be quick, we want to be accurate, and then we want to be behind that as detailed as we can. And so, you know, for us, it's a good textbook example of what we deal with when something like this happens.
Correct. And, you know,
and on a Saturday when, you know, like I say, this isn't something that you plan for.
Of course.
But you have to find some way to get it done.
And, you know, I think the whole fact of the matter is we'd all have rather not had to report this story. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not something that you look forward to doing. Mm-hmm. It's not something that everybody gets excited about and, you know, whatever. But the news is the news, and it is what it is. And you do have to report the story.
Right, you do. And so,
as unfortunate as it is.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're going to do the very important follow-up work that comes. You know, I know that it's a tremendous buzz, not locally, but all over when something like this happens. But then, you know, it's kind of fades off. But, you know, there's more of this story yet to tell.
Absolutely.
And we will certainly stay on it. And I know that it is a tremendous tragedy for the family, for the people who knew the family,
yes.
for the airport,
so
for the greater airport family out there.
Yes.
You know, that's a group of friends
yes.
that use that airport out
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we'll try to stay in contact and put out whatever information should be out there. You know, a horrible thing. We don't like it. We don't like to report
this
tragic news, but
it has to be reported.
It is our responsibility to do so as quickly as we can. And that goes for, you know, any news organization.
Well, the thing is, here's the deal, Pete, and Dylan and I talked about this too. If you don't do it, somebody else is going to.
Well, that's the case. And, you know, from a competitive situation, you know, do I want some Columbus TV station
Correct.
To report it before I do?
No.
And they could if they hear about it first. Here's the thing, if you're the local news editor or the reporter or whatever, we don't know things automatically when they happen. We have to hear it just like everybody else, and then we go after the details.
But wouldn't you rather your local community people be reporting on this story and putting the care into it, because, you know, we are a small community and we do care about each other, and, you know, somebody nationally or statewide or whatever is going to come down here and report the story with no account for feelings of
they're not going to worry about dealing with the people tomorrow and the next day and the next
Correct.
Day after that.
You know,
so, you know, you balance it with a little humanity. I always
yes.
like to say this, and it's just not for an incident like this. It's anything where the news isn't good. I put myself in the shoes of the people that are
Absolutely.
On the bad side of the story.
Yeah,
you know, is it fair to them? You know, I know it's bad news or whatever, and you don't want to hear it, you don't want to know about it, but is it fair? And that's a gray area.
Yeah.
So that's what we try to do. We try to be aggressive and fast, but we also try to be fair and have a little bit of feelings. And there's been times where I probably didn't run something or do something that if I only cared about the news side of it, I would have done.
Yes.
But there's more than one side to this coin.
Sure, absolutely.
But anyway, we will certainly follow up on it. We do have a lot of information already online, multiple pictures. We have two stories, one from the day and one from the next day. And we will follow up, and we'll probably have more information by the time that the print edition comes out on Wednesday, the Telegram.
Okay.
So, and we also did this, Jennifer. Most of our stories have paywalls because we are a subscription newspaper.
Yeah,
that is
absolutely.
that is our business. That's how we survive. That we
right.
sell
how you
our
make
newspapers
some money,
sell
yeah.
the news. When there's a big story and people need to know, we try to have a more service oriented. Everything we have put on about the airplane crash has been free,
okay.
whether you're a subscriber or not. And that's not always going to be the case on all these follow-up stories, but it was there. So if you haven't heard all the details, and I would like to believe that we have more than any other news organization,
sure.
because we were here and we worked it, it is online at thetelegramnews.com. And, of course, it will also be in the print edition on Wednesday, probably a little bit more than what we have now even.
Okay. Well, Pete, thank you for coming in. No, it's not your normal news day, and you're a very, very busy man, but it's definitely worth taking some time and discussing here this morning and letting our viewers know the facts that we do.
Right. We appreciate you giving me and Dylan giving me the time to do this, because, you know, we don't do the news every day. But, you know, sometimes when something like that happens, you know, we need to, if there's a chunk of time available,
Absolutely.
We need to pass it along on every media platform we have here at Total Media.
That's right. So, by the way, just spoiler alert, how did the games go over the weekend?
Okay, they did not go well.
Oh.
Okay, we played two teams. Our girls' team played Fournville-Sheridan, who had not lost a game. We found out why.
Yeah.
They're very good. They defeated our Iron Ladies 48-26. Our Iron Men were playing in a sectional championship game against Logan. That was on Friday afternoon. The girls were on Saturday afternoon. And they lost to a very good Warren local team, who may be the best team in the district. Put it this way. They sold me. They defeated our Iron Men 72-41. Now, in both cases, I think both of our teams did not play their best game. That happens. And they happen to be playing probably the best teams they've played all year. So
yes.
it was a combination of those two factors, the opponent and the fact that, you know, the shots just didn't go down for our two teams. They have in many games, they didn't this time, and the other teams were just hot. The bottom line of both of those games, Jennifer, was both of those teams have like two stars on their team. Our defenses were geared to stop those two stars. But the other girls and the other guys, they made the points. They made the baskets. And so, you know, what do you do? You can't overguard everybody, you know.
You know, and I was talking to some of the girls. They came in after their game and families to eat. And so thank you for that, ladies and families. But, yeah, they were just saying, man, the defense we wanted, we pulled it off. But we couldn't get anything to go in the basket. It just would not fall.
No,
and Jackson, that's so frustrating.
The girls scored only 26 points. Yeah. And they scored 74 the game before.
Yeah, I mean that's unheard of for them.
And our boys, they've always been defensive oriented. But 41 points. They needed more than 41. But even more than that, they needed to hold Warren Local down to less than 72. Our defense, the boys' defense, usually doesn't give up more than 40 to 50 points a game. And Coach Max Morrow has always said he expects low-scoring games for us to be successful. If someone gets to 50, we may not win. And they got to 72.
Yeah. It's just wasn't in the cards.
No, it was not. But what outstanding seasons. The boys finished 16-8 with a young team, only one senior. God bless Boston Campbell, who was our senior.
Know.
He was very good. And on the flip side, our girls go 21-3, and they did have a lot of seniors. You know, we'll maybe talk about that a little bit more tomorrow because they need another tip of the hat, as do our boys. But that was what happened.
Yeah.
Not good. It was not, I guess, Saturday afternoon wasn't a good afternoon all the way around.
No, it was not. It was one of those maybe just skip to the next day situations would have been better off, but that's okay.
Tomorrow will always come. Tomorrow is another day. Scarlett O'Hara said that, and it is so true.
That's right. So, well, Pete, thank you for spending some time this morning giving us the facts on this, tragic situation here out at the airport. And never fun to report, but we have to report it nonetheless.
Absolutely. We will always try to do our best on that.
Yep. Thanks, okay. Pete.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. All right. Well, we do have some, I don't know, Dylan's got something planned over there. I don't know what he's got planned, but we're going to do something.
Well, first we're going to hear from Vinton County National Bank, then we'll be back.
That's right.
At Vinton County National Bank, we believe in supporting the areas where we live and work. Now, we'd like to honor those who also serve our communities. Our new Community Champions account is especially for first responders, veterans, active military, and anyone employed in the fields of healthcare or education. This account offers rewards, discounts, and other benefits to those who give so much to others. Vinton County National Bank, rewarding those who serve.
Oh. All right. Well, we are back here, and today's weather forecast, that's not today's weather forecast. That's Friday's weather forecast. I'm like, wait a minute. Today is supposed to be almost 70 degrees. I don't think that's right. Dylan.
Oh, my bad.
His bad. So, yeah, it's actually different than that. So he'll fix it here in a second. But there we go. Because I knew it was almost going to be 70 degrees today. So some sunshine in the forecast. And yeah, highs of 68, lows only dipping down to 51 overnight. And look at tomorrow, about the same, 67 for the high. Now, there is a lot of rain in the forecast on Tuesday and Wednesday, but those mid to upper 60s as we go temperature-wise anyway. Now, look at Wednesday night, though. So here's what happens. Wednesday day, going to be very nice. But Wednesday night, it starts to go down, down, down. And then Thursday, we have that high only of 44 and the low of 26. So, yeah, it's, and here's the whole point. It is still February. Enjoy these days while you can, because every day that we have that 65 or 70 or whatever it is not 40 or 20 or whatever. So just enjoy those. Enjoy these next couple days.
Yeah.
Don't say, oh God, it's going to be, you know, 40 or 20 or whatever 2 days from now. Just enjoy it while you can.
Yeah, me and Jeremiah were talking about that the other day. It was just really nice out on Friday. It was just a very, I don't know, I guess it's been a minute since I've just felt that nice warm weather. Mm-hmm. And he just happened to be cleaning out his car. And it just gave me this feeling of like, wow, this hasn't happened in a while.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, like, Saturday was just an icky day. And, well, all the way around, weather-wise and news-wise and everything else. But then yesterday came out and was very pretty once again. We actually had a group of folks show up yesterday afternoon at the tap room there that were on motorcycles. Like a huge group of motorcycles. And I thought that was really cool. I'm like, yay, it's promising. People are riding their motorcycles. So
yeah,
there's hope. Hope for us weather-wise. Hey, do you want to do this week's or this today's cycle search clue?
I guess I can.
Well, you don't have to do it. I'll do it.
I think you should do it.
Okay. All right. Today is, just verifying it's a correct clue. Today is Monday, February 26th, and here is your cycle search clue for today. It says, back from the weekend and here with another clue. The packet is still out there waiting for you. Well, that doesn't tell us much, does it?
No.
Dang it. I haven't read these, so I don't know. And don't ask us because we don't know. How many people have asked you?
None, actually.
Oh, really? I always have people like, hey, where's it? Can you tell us anything about the cycle search? I'm like, no, I don't know. I really don't know. They don't tell us.
No, they do not.
And there's a reason they don't tell us things. So anyway, but all right. So you had said you had a couple of things planned for today.
Yeah. So I was just thinking to myself the other day, what can I talk about? Like, what do I know? And I started thinking, I know a lot of stuff about nerds and like what nerds are into.
Nerds, okay.
Yeah.
Not the candy, but actual people.
No, I do like nerds. I like nerds candy.
They're good.
Have you tried the nerds ropes?
Yes.
Yeah, I like nerd ropes. It almost feels like Laffy Taffy and nerds together.
Yeah. I had, I think it was nerds. There was like a chewy thing the other day and it had like, it was like chewy around nerds. I'm like, oh.
You had a chewy thing around nerds.
Mm-hmm. It had like nerds in the middle and then chewy.
That's
around
weird.
It. Yeah.
I don't think I've had that.
Oh.
Was it like Laffy Taffy with nerds in the middle kind of thing?
But more sour, yeah. Because Laffy Taffy's sweet.
Yeah. I actually got
and
some.
And they tell you jokes.
I got free Laffy Taffy from this company when I ordered this part. And I don't know why Laffy Taffy came with the part. But I don't know. It was a nice treat. I mean,
that is a little weird.
Yeah, but it was cool. I mean, I wish everyone did that. Like, yeah. I wish I got an Amazon package and it came with Laffy Taffy.
Yeah.
Or like, what if they started mixing it up and started sending like lemon heads or something, you know? That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good marketing strategy.
It is.
Yeah.
Correct.
I wish I went to Walmart and bought like, I don't know, like a toilet paper and got Laffy Taffy.
That would be awesome.
That would.
I love Laffy Taffy. It's even better because they have jokes.
They do. But, well, I thought this was a joke the other day. There's a new Scrooge comic coming out by Marvel. Marvel is picking up Scrooge McDuck and doing a comic series out of that.
Really?
Yeah. And it's not funny. It's dramatic.
Really?
Like, really serious. That's weird, man. But, I mean, it's cool. I'm excited for it.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to read it. But we will see Scrooge embark on a time-honored Marvel adventure as he explores the multiverse to stop a twisted alternate Scrooge from becoming the all-powerful and incomprehensibly rich Scrooge above all.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that seems kind of exciting, but also kind of weird.
Scroogey at anyone's expense, it sounds like.
Yep. So, I mean, I guess we're just going to watch, like, Scrooge fight evil Scrooge. I mean, read.
Whatever.
I'm down for it. And then I got another thing about a new Big Bang Theory spinoffs in the works.
So that's one show I've never watched. I kind of need to, but it's like, you know, some of those shows they've been on for so long, it's like getting started watching them is like really hard.
Yeah. I'm watching, like, Chicago Fire right now and it's like 13 seasons.
Yeah. And you're just like, I don't even want to start it because I'll never get it finished.
Yeah. And then like half the cast dies by the time you finish the series, which is kind of happening in the new Big Bang Theory, Young Sheldon. It's not very new now. It's been on for like 7 seasons.
Yeah.
But Sheldon's dad's supposed to die by the end of the show, and everybody's just waiting for it.
Oh.
Yeah. But this is not that. This is Sheldon's brother and his girlfriend, who's a bit older than him. It's like I think, 5-year age difference. He's 17, and she's like, I don't know, plus 5. And it's their adventure in parenthood. So I'm excited for it.
Okay.
Yep. And then there's some upcoming movies coming out, which is kind of Josh Willard's domain a little bit, but I did some research into it.
Yeah.
And on February 27th, we will have Camp Pleasant Lake. Now, Josh didn't know what this is, and I don't know what this is. Have you heard of Camp Pleasant Lake?
It sounds like a spinoff of a freaking Friday the 13th.
That's what I was thinking. It's like The Camp, but without him.
Crystal Lake.
Yeah. And then on...
What is Camp Pleasant Lake?
I actually don't know. That's why I was asking you.
Oh, I can look it up while you're...
Camp Pleasant Lake. It's a horror film.
It sounds like a horror film.
Yeah, it's just this creepy look. Oh, does that look like Jason to you?
I don't... No.
It looks like a knockoff of Jason.
It does look like a knockoff of Jason. A Friday the 13th. What does it say?
I guess his villain name is Evil Man.
That's the villain in the... Oh, that's really creative.
Evil Man.
Evil Man.
That's something else.
So what's the point?
A couple breathes life into a new camp on an old campsite, connecting them to a chilling past that unravels a 20-year-old mystery involving a missing young girl.
Well, it sounds kind of interesting.
I mean, if the bad guy is Evil Man, I don't think I want to watch
it. Evil Man.
Yeah, that's weird, man.
Okay. So I will say that I was listening to Matt and Josh when I was driving in this morning, and they were talking about like the top movies of the weekend or whatever, and I haven't heard any of them.
Yeah, the only thing I know of.
I'm like, why? Why? Why do you not hear? Why have I not heard of any of these movies?
I think it's poor advertising.
I think it is.
Like the like actual movie producers.
Yeah, because I'm like, I've never heard any of these.
Mm-hmm.
Like
Disney and Nickelodeon and like all those. I mean, that's a bad example of serious movies, but I know those two particularly just haven't been like pushing advertising for their films. I mean, when's the last time you heard of a Nickelodeon movie?
I haven't really heard of any movies. Like, that's the... I don't know. What's the deal? Do you think, though, like... You know, it used to be when you watched TV, you watched just cable TV and there were commercials and all that stuff. But now I feel like everybody streams everything. So how do you advertise movies and stuff like that?
I'm not sure.
Interesting. Maybe that's why we don't know any of them.
That could be it.
All right, so is that the only movie coming out?
Camp
Pleasant Lake. I feel like we need to go watch it now to report back.
I don't think I want to watch Camp Pleasant Lake. But on March 1st, we have Dune Part 2.
Yes.
I never watched Dune.
I've never watched Dune either. But I heard it was really good.
Is it the one where like there's like scavengers or whatever? Like it's like a post-apocalyptic world and they're driving around in these like old go-karts.
I don't know. Maybe. I think they go. Don't they go to another planet or something?
Dune. Oh, yeah, that looks like a different planet. Well, it looks like what both of us said.
Oh, okay. So, Dune was a movie years and years and years and years ago, and so then I think they redid it, and then now they're doing the second part of what they, you know, like they had Dune 1 and Dune 2.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like this is a different world, but it also looks post-apocalyptic.
Yeah. Is there a description?
That's a good question.
Dune Part 1.
In the distant future, Duke, ruler of the planet Caladan, is assigned by the Perdish, I don't know how to say that. It's an emperor.
Mm-hmm.
To replace Baron as the file holder of Arrakis.
Okay, stop talking. I don't know. I don't want anything to do with that.
I mean, it's on Netflix.
It sounds really confusing.
Yeah, it does. I'm pulling it up on Netflix. It's a slow load. Ah. Yeah, that looks weird.
Yeah, I don't,
I mean, yeah, it looks like an apocalyptic kind of world.
I know that people that are like into it really, you know, are into it, but I just.
I mean, it looks weird to me. Oh, God, they're falling through the earth. Jeez.
Well, now you're spoiling it.
Oh, yeah, I guess I am.
Stop talking.
Yeah, I'm not going to see Dune 2. I mean, if I watch the first one, I really get into it, maybe.
Well, I was going to say, you kind of need to watch the first one before you watch the second one.
I mean, it's kind of like, it's like judging Star Wars 1 before seeing, like, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen any of the Star Wars and you just walk in for, like, the newest film in the theater, you're going to be like,
yeah, you'd
be
like, what is happening right now?
Like, why is there a green ghost guy talking to this girl?
Yeah, you kind of need to, like, watch the whole thing.
Yeah, which might take a while.
Yeah.
A long while.
Yeah.
Way too long.
Correct.
Especially if you watch all the series. You got like a year looking ahead of you.
Right, exactly. So, all right. So there's like the original Star Wars, and then there's like...
There's the...
How many Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi?
Yeah. And, oh God, I can't remember. The Last Jedi? No, that's the new one. Empire Strikes Back. That's two. So there, A New Hope. A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back. The Return of the Jedi.
Star Wars series. Star Wars movies in order.
Dune's also on Max. Oh, this is a way better description. Paul Arratiatis, a brilliant and gifted young man born into a great destiny beyond his understanding, must travel to the most dangerous planet in the universe to ensure the future of his family and his people.
That's what Dune's about?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's helpful.
That's way simpler than what I was reading.
Yeah. All right. This is not the...
Google description versus Wikipedia description.
All right. So there's... This is like the newest or the newer one. So Star Wars Episode One, The Phantom Menace...
Yeah, that's the prequel series.
Yes.
Came out after the original series.
Attack of the Clones, The Clone Wars, Revenge of the Sith, The Bad Batch.
Okay, this is including all the series in between it.
Okay, Star Wars The Bad Batch is 2021. Solo, A Star Wars Story, 2018.
Bad spinoff.
Obi-Wan Kenobi 2022.
Mid spinoff.
Star Wars Rebels 2014.
Pretty good, but underrated.
Andor.
Really bad.
2022. Rogue One, A Star Wars Story 2016. Have you seen all these?
Yeah.
A New Hope 1977.
The original.
I don't even. Why do I not know that? So 77. 80. Empire Strikes Back. That was episode 5. 6 was Return of the Jedi. Then The Mandalorian.
Oh, that's good.
2019. The Book of Boba Fett, 2021.
Out of nowhere, but good.
Star Wars Ashoka?
I don't know, man. That one, I don't know.
Former Jedi Knight. And that's a cartoon. The Force Awakens 2015, The Last Jedi 2017, The Rise of Skywalker, 2019. That's the last one it lists. So, but where's like the original ones?
You read them. They're just mixed in there.
Oh.
The Phantom Menace is the prequel part one. And then...
But what's the original Star Wars is just Star Wars, right?
A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and...
Return of the Jedi.
Yeah. Those three.
Okay.
Those are the original. Then you have the prequels that are supposed to kind of be the original according to the creator. And then you have the sequel trilogy, which is Disney bought them out and everybody hates it.
The sequel. So like the after. Because mm-hmm. there's the prequels were the prequel, ones with like Natalie sequel. Portman in them.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, for the love.
Is that the Anakin, you're breaking my heart, girl?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. The real pretty one.
Yeah. And then she dies of a broken heart.
She does?
Yeah.
Oh.
You can't tell me that's a spoiler. It's been out forever.
I didn't know. I don't know. I haven't seen them in so long. I feel like I need to watch the original Star Wars.
You do.
And to remember what happened. Because, I mean, if you think about the original Star Wars came out in, what, the 70s?
I mean, it doesn't make sense to everything else they've added on since then. It's like they built this story, and then they built this other story around the original story and based off of it. And now there's so much depth to this new story, the original story doesn't make sense.
Okay.
I mean, you're watching...
Just, like, giving yeah, so much detail.
You're watching this story about the fall of the Republic and the build of the new empire, and then you're watching this kid go through it. Then the kid turns evil, and then out of nowhere, this old dude who doesn't sound or look like the other guy shows up and is like, I'm going to teach you the Force. And then he's like, never mind, I'm dead. Go find the screen midget. And then he goes off and does that.
Oh, my God.
He just trains with this green dude and then comes back and is like, Father, you're actually a good guy. And he's like, yeah, you're right. And then they kill the bad guy.
So weird.
It doesn't make sense.
Oh, my God. Okay, so 77 was the first, the original Star Wars, it looks like. Released May 25th of 77.
You know, the big thing I remember is the Fairly Odd Parents Star Wars. They did a whole take in the Fairly Odd Parents, but they did everything off-brand because Disney and Nickelodeon. And it was just... It's what I remember when I think of Star Wars.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Fairly Odd Parents.
The Fairly version. Odd Parents Star Wars. And the Family Guy Star Wars. They make more sense. Odd Parents Star Wars. Yeah. The audience can't see, but.
Yeah. No, it's a cartoon.
I mean, it's a good cartoon.
So now, I guess I'm understanding now. So the very first Star Wars was called Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope?
Yes. Episode 4 is the very first Star Wars. Yeah. Again, the creator just changed everything.
Which came out in 77. Mm-hmm. Then The Empire Strikes Back is Episode 5 in 1980. Yes. Then they had some Ewok stuff. Return of the Jedi came out in 83, which is episode 6.
Yeah.
And then episode 1 didn't come out until 1999.
Pretty much.
Which is the Phantom Menace, which is the first one.
And that's the one that the actor got bullied so bad that some bad things happened.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm understanding, though, how they're... Because I was like, well, how did we get to episode 6 that it's the one of the very first ones? But that's why. So yeah. We went backwards.
And then there's 7, 8, and 9 that are Disney. And basically, in episode 6, everything's fixed, the world's restored. And then episode 7, it's like close to 50 years later... Everything's terrible again.
Yeah. Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens, came out in 2015.
That's because the bad guy from Episode 6 is still alive, and he's, like, reshaped the world, and he's, like, trying to take over again.
Okay, because episode 6 is Return of the Jedi. I don't get it, man.
Nope, it's something else.
Yeah. Okay, well anyway, now we know. I remember being little, though, and having all the Star Wars characters.
Yeah.
Because it was like a huge, huge deal.
I got an old Star Wars toy once, and then I lost it, and I was super bummed.
Yeah.
Like, it was like one of the old, old vintage ones, and I got it from a vintage store.
It's kind of interesting.
I wasn't allowed to open it.
If you think about it, if we had kept all that stuff and not opened it, we'd probably be very wealthy today.
We would.
Yeah. So, okay, so I told you I was going to talk about, did you know that we have a solar eclipse coming up?
I did.
So, here's the deal. There's 15 U.S. states that are going to be affected by the solar eclipse. And the solar eclipse is the one that you can't look at. You have to have special glasses or it'll, like, burn your retinas or your eyeballs will fall out or something.
I remember this once when I was a little kid. It happened.
Yes, it did happen. The interesting thing is, it is going to be Monday, April 8th, and Ohio, is right in the path of it. Unfortunately, Southern Ohio is not. So if you want to, like, literally be in the midst of the eclipse, you'll have to grab your special glasses. But you'll have to go to Northern Ohio to be able to see it. And the best counties for viewing. And this has become, though, like this huge, like schools are letting out early and stuff so that the kids aren't like walking home while this is going on. Mm-hmm. Because we get total darkness for a moment.
Oh, that's weird.
Because the moon blocks the sun.
So it's going to look like even darker than midnight or anything.
Yeah, it goes complete dark.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. It's wild.
That is.
So there was one in 2024, but it was more of a partial. But this, and there won't be another one until 2099. So speak now or forever hold your eclipse.
Forever hold your eclipse.
Yeah. But... So, okay.
Will I be alive in 2099?
You will. I won't, probably. Oh. I don't know. What is this, 24?
Well, let me just Google that.
That's 70 years from now.
Oh, 70 years.
So probably not.
I mean, if I eat well, maybe.
Yeah, right.
Oh, no, I'll be dead.
But yeah, so the best counties to be able to see it. I can't read those. It's the ones that are the lightest. The lightest.
These ones?
Yeah, those. Can you read those? I can't see because I'm old.
I can read them, but I don't know if I can pronounce them. Darke, Shelby, Auglaize.
Auglaize, yeah.
Hardin, Wyandotte.
Wyandotte.
Sameca.
Huh?
Seneca. I don't know, man. Huron, Erie, and Lorraine.
Okay. You did pretty good. But basically, northern Ohio, it goes this way. So the eclipse actually goes from, like, Texas up that way all the way up to New England, like Maine. Mm-hmm. So there's, like, it just goes in a straight line there. Delta actually did an eclipse flight. So the plane's going to follow the eclipse.
Oh.
And they sold out in like less than 24 hours.
Okay,
cool. Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be.
But it was, I think tickets were selling for over $1,000 a piece.
Yeah, I'm not paying that.
No. But it is pretty cool if you think about it. But you do need the special glasses.
Well, you might need the special glasses, or you might be able to tune into Jeremiah Shaver's live stream.
Maybe, if he goes up north somewhere.
If he can figure out this new telescope he got.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Mm. So this would be people within a 124-mile wide band in the state of Ohio will experience a total solar eclipse. And again, this is on April, what did I say, 8th? Something like that. April 8th, yes. What day is April 8th?
Monday.
Oh, it's a Monday?
Yep.
Okay. All right, so yeah, but there's like all kind of tourist things. Like there's cities that are going to be right in the path, like in Texas and stuff like that, and like all throughout the line of it, that are just like these little tiny towns, but they're like expecting huge amounts of people to come in because of that. Here he comes. Are you or are you not going to be live on the scene on April 8th reporting about the solar eclipse with your funny glasses on?
So the hope is here we will not be able to see the total eclipse, but we should be able to see a partial eclipse. Which, when I looked at some of the imagery on a site that I found, we're going to be able to see, because we're so close to totality, we're going to be able to see here, as long as the sky is clear and then we don't have any cloud cover or whatever, we should be able to see a very good view of this eclipse. I have ordered a telescope that gives me the ability to be able to connect my phone to it.
Okay.
And I have I've ordered a solar lens for it, and it is my hope to be able to live stream the solar eclipse this time.
That's awesome.
So be watching for that. That is my plan. And I plan to come on the show on Monday, April 8th. And for those that don't have the fancy glasses, because if you don't order them now, they'll probably be gone.
Yeah, order them now.
I'm going to show you how to make a pinhole box viewer.
Okay.
So I'll bring all the supplies in, and you and me can that morning. It doesn't take too long to make. And we'll make one live on the show for folks. It's all stuff that you have around your house to be able
That's
to view it.
That's awesome.
I made one in 2017 because we had a partial eclipse then. And it's very surprising how well the box works. But it's neater if you have the glasses to be able to actually look directly at it. But the box is kind of like a second view. It's like over you look in the box and it's, you know, pointing behind you because the sun's behind you and it's putting the shadow on the bottom of the box, so it's really neat.
All right, so we will be your eclipse headquarters here.
Hope so. Yeah. As long as the weather's good, and as long as the telescope works like I hope.
Yeah, absolutely. That's super cool. So here's the things. You need the special eclipse glasses if you want to actually physically look at the eclipse. Thanks, Jeremiah.
Thanks.
And then, but it's also...
You know, I was 13 in 2017.
Were you?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I realized that.
I was not. I remember standing outside. Somebody had given me some of the glasses. But, yeah, the next total solar eclipse in Ohio will be in the year 2099. Solar eclipse occurs when the moon casts its shadow on the Earth as it passes between the Earth and the sun. A total solar eclipse occurs when the moon appears to totally obscure the sun. So it's like the moon passes between the sun and the earth. Isn't that crazy?
That is.
Safety is the number one priority. You do have to have the glasses. So there's all kind of cool stuff going on. There's, you know, again, places that are having parties and festivals and whatever. But you will find, just to let you know, I know a lot of the schools will be dismissing early and stuff like that because they don't want the kids walking home in the middle of, they're not supposed to be looking up and all of that stuff. So, but it should be really, really cool.
It really will be.
It's just, it's the universe letting us know how small we are.
Yeah.
Something that only happens every,
we're
you
just
know,
a speck.
Yeah. Like we suck. Like we're nothing.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, it's not going to happen again until 2099. So yeah,
that's going to be a while.
You know, it's pretty wild, but it will be.
You know, if I'm still alive in 2099, I'll go live on Main Street TV. Okay,
yeah, I'll remember that. Oh my gosh. You're so funny. But yeah, it's kind of a neat situation. Oh, some of the fun facts about it, just to let you know, when it reaches totality, nocturnal wildlife wakes up sometimes thinking it's night, and non-nocturnal wildlife might think it's time to go to sleep, so it screws up the animals, there's just some funny things that go on like that. When the moon completely blocks the visible surface of the sun, viewers can remove their eclipse glasses. Total solar eclipse is the only type of solar eclipse where eclipse glasses can be momentarily removed. But I'm not going to risk that. I don't want to lose my retinas.
I don't want to either.
Yeah. But I know you can buy the eclipse glasses. There's several places you can order them online. I was told, or what I read, I wasn't told, I read that like some of the big box stores are going to carry them. So like Walmarts and Targets and stuff like that. I'm sure you can order them on Amazon. But so if you do want to take part in that, make sure you get your glasses ordered now, because if not, you won't be able to get them. Because the last time we had one, you couldn't find the glasses anywhere.
Yeah.
So there you go. So ask your local big box store. And if you really want to see the full eclipse, you will have to go up to Northern Ohio to do so.
Yeah, I'm not going up there.
Somewhere north of Columbus.
Kroger has the glasses in Jackson.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That's what I was just texted. I was also sent a photo of Cora and Ella and Leah. I can't show it on the show, but you can see it there.
With their glasses on. They were just little.
I did get a new phone, so I'm not sure who's texting me, but I have a feeling it's Janet, but I'm not entirely certain.
Okay. Very good. Oh, also, speaking of your phone, just to let you know, you have to have a special filter on your phone to take a picture of it to protect your camera, because if not, they say bad things can happen.
I don't want anything bad to happen to my phone.
No, they're too expensive. So there you go. So we'll keep you updated on all the eclipse news that we have.
Oh, it is Janet. Hi, Janet.
Hi, Janet. Thank you. Very good. And so there you go. All right. Well, we made it through another show.
We did.
Yeah. All right. And you have a couple of videos that you have that we can maybe show here coming up this week.
Yep. An interview with Michael Winslow on Mix 96. And Tanya, I think she made cookies and Josh and Matt tried them.
Why didn't we get to try them?
I think it was just early, 8 a.m. You weren't here yet.
Okay. That's fine. All right. Well, have a great day, everyone. We appreciate you so much for tuning in, and we'll be right back here tomorrow with some more news. Thanks for watching. Bye-bye.